today is a kind of a special day for me because, but it's with real mixed emotions that I introduce our speakers. And it's just today, my mom and her friend Shauna are going to be speaking. My mom has a name, it's Judy. And Grammy, that's her real claim to fame. But you know, I'm just really keenly aware today of, and I'll probably cry, of just the, of the women in my life that have recently lost a mom, or are, I have a friend who is right now nursing her mom in her home. She's my age, and her mom is passing over into, from life into life, like Marianne always says. And it's, and so the relationship with our moms is often amazing and wonderful, and then it's hard if we've lost them, and it's hard if the relationship wasn't amazing. And so I'm just feeling that today and praying for you all, not knowing your stories, but it also just makes me so thankful that I have the opportunity to have my mom here. She, I don't know, sorry, you guys. She's an incredible person, and it's fitting that she would bring her favorite hairdresser and friend. We all know as women what it's like to have this relationship with our hairdresser, like that's important, right? And you also just like in 30 minutes or less solve the problems of the world with your hairdresser. And so they're here to tell you what the, you know, how to solve the problems of your life. Now, but so my mom is Judy Middlestead, and she is on December 16th launching her 50th year of marriage to my dad. They have spent a life in ministry. Right now they lead in a ministry called Water Africa. She also serves as a pianist at Lake Grove Presbyterian. She raised 4 kids who are married and now is almost welcoming her 9th grandchild in the next couple of days into the world. She was a school counselor, elementary school counselor, a elementary school teacher, has been a children's pastor, and has really mentored just hundreds of young moms. And that's, I mean, that's how I grew up. My mom was involved in the lives of young women and their families and has an insight into children that is, God has just uniquely equipped her. And it's because her ultimate, as she said to me, the supreme love of her life is Jesus. And that just flows out of everything she does. And so, including when she walks into the hairdresser and talks with Shauna, and they talk about Jesus. So Shauna is the mom of 2 adolescent boys. She co-parents with an ex-husband and is the owner of Model Salon, a very upscale salon in Oregon City. Did I say that right, Model? And she goes to Willamette Christian, sorry, Athey Creek in Tualatin. And my mom says, you know, Shauna's super humble as she explains what she does. She is gracious and warm and loving and purposeful and in the fight of her life with her boys and following Jesus. And so today they're going to join us to just talk about, I think, the busyness of the season and how to just focus on the right things, moments versus memories. And so come on up and I'll just pray for you guys. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you so much for these women. They have such a special place in my heart, and I know by the time we're walking out of here, they will in the hearts of these mamas here. I just pray that we would all have open hearts to hear what you have to teach us through them today. Thank you for their preparation, for their hearts for you, for the lives that they live for you. Lord, would you just, as this we are at this first day of December, I just pray it would be a really important day in each of our lives as we reflect on who we are and who we are in you and what you have for us and for our families as we enter this sometimes busy, crazy season. Lord, speak to our hearts in your name. Amen.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, honey.
Here you have them.
I love all these baby sounds. We go to Lake Grove Presbyterian Church, and we're the young ones.
It gives you just an idea.
No, we love our church. Well, good morning, and congratulations on making it here this morning. That's no small task. Shauna and I were praying for you this morning, and but I have to tell you, there's really no place I'd rather be than in a room full or one-on-one with a young mom. I don't know if you realize the power that you wield in your home as you shape these little people in your lives, and as you create the environment and the atmosphere in your home, you wield a lot of power. Is that scary? Okay, it should be. But the great news is you're not alone. So, and I am using notes because I'm going to be very aware of the time, because I know you really come to hang out with your friends in your group. So I totally get that, and you need that time. So, well, I have great news for you this morning. No matter what you brought into this room with you today, physically, emotionally, spiritually, or what you feel you're lacking in any of those areas, I have one word for you, and it's the word of the season, it's the reason for the season, it's the word Emmanuel, God with us. You are not alone, okay? You are enough, and what is the other one I wanted to say? And the most important thing, Jesus loves you more than you will ever know. If you don't feel that, if you don't know what that's all about, man, there's a room full of people who would love to talk to you about that. But those are three facts. Those are three truths that will never, ever change. Okay? So, honestly, that's all you really need to know and truly believe in order to head into this Christmas season with a true sense of peace. And my prayer this morning is that each of us will make room in our hearts for Jesus this Christmas and every day of the year. So this morning, my friend Shauna and I invite you to consider stepping into the season with what our culture might consider an upside-down perspective. Like maybe rather than obsessing on the gifts that we think we should purchase, how about focusing on presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, being fully present in the lives of the people we love and care for. What if we were to allow ourselves grace and space to be channels of the gifts of the Christ child, love, joy, peace, hope, into the lives of the people around us? Would you prefer to receive that gift over a tangible present? I know I would, and I know the world is longing for the gifts of love, joy, peace, and hope. It may require saying, nope, I'm sorry, but I'm just not able to do that this year. I can't spend that much. I can't eat that much. I don't want to bake that much. And I don't want to pack up my little family up for yet one more gathering, no matter how wonderful it is. Does that sound freeing at all to you? Yeah. So just be perfectly clear from the get-go. Nothing about this morning together is designed to make you feel guilty for the choices that you will make around your Christmas. We simply ask you to consider making the choices that truly resonate with your heart's desire and your hopes and dreams for yourself and your family. We're talking about being intentional. And that brings me to Shauna. Okay, the day Jamie asked me several weeks ago to speak to you this morning, I felt so honored and humbled, and I knew in a moment I was to say yes. You see, I admit that raising my family, being a mother, has been the greatest joy of my life, even in the most difficult of times, because of, yes, Emmanuel, God with us. I have been an observer of marriages and families all of my life, and I'm still learning, often by watching my own adult children and incredible moms like you, truly. Which brings me to, okay. So, back to Jamie's invitation to speak, a quick story. The very next day, I found myself in Shauna's salon chair, asking her what she would say, this woman of great wisdom.
Tricking me, actually.
No, it wasn't that. There was no coercion. I've just been asking her to do this for 10 years, but anyway.
Sorry.
I asked her what she would say to a room full of young moms about reining in unrealistic expectations of ourselves, particularly around Christmas. You see, from the moment I met Shauna 10 years ago, when she began working her magic with my impossible hair, I began to develop a deep love and admiration for her. There isn't time to tell you all the reasons I feel that way. But the number one reason is how intentional she is as a parent. I was so moved by her response that day in her chair to my question that I asked her if she would come and speak to you firsthand. And I wanted you to hear it firsthand. And she finally said yes. Yes. Yeah, okay. I could do that. And so here she is. I'm pretty sure she has then a question for you after she greets you.
You did trick me.
Did I?
No.
We'll talk later.
Yes. Hello. So this, the question I have for you guys is the question I had to ask myself when my kids were young, elementary school age, is does this season and what you guys have in your homes with your families, does this time of year work for you guys? Does it work? Is it stressful? Are you happy with it? And it's something to really, really think about. And I had to ask myself the same question, and I was kind of surprised at the response that I got as I prayed about it and as I just wondered, like, is this not working for me for some reason? So I want you guys to just kind of think about that for a second and chat, like, amongst yourself. Like, how do you really feel about the season that we're getting to embark upon every single year? Do you guys feel good about it? Do you feel at peace about it? So just take a second and just kind of think about it and chat.
We'll give you 2 minutes. And
2 minutes.
We'll call you back.
We're on a time schedule.
Okay.
Okay,
that's 2 minutes.
Okay. All right, ladies. What'd you guys come up with? Is there anyone that potentially is brave enough to say what they can't?
Okay,
I know.
Wait a minute. Okay. Oh, I thought all the school teachers in the room would. That would help. No, I'm just teasing.
So is there anyone that has a little nugget they would like to share about how they feel about this time of year and whether it works for them and their family? You don't have to.
Just a quick nugget, something you just shared and you're willing to admit openly.
Go for it.
Perfect. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Our group talked a lot about boundaries with parents and in-laws and about how that's working for some of us, how we're establishing that with some of us, and how important it is that the child that belongs to the parent is the one that takes the role in, like, hey, this is what's going to work for our family.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
That takes courage.
They had their turn, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. It's and your that turn takes now. Courage. Courage with love.
One more, maybe?
Okay.
Okay.
I was going to say, I often find that we are spending too much money.
Yes.
Trying to
rein that. Yeah. Reel it in. Okay. You ready for your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So, well, did you have something you wanted to say first?
Well, I was going to say that I wanted to share kind of what happened to me when I had to ask myself this question. And my kids were pretty young. They were, when I made the real switch, they were around six or seven. My boys are 11 and 13 right now, so they're a year apart in school, 18 months in age. And so they were pretty small, and I do not buy my kids Christmas presents. So, and when they were 6 and 8, I made that decision. And what happened with that was when they were very little, I was finding, much like what you're saying, they got so much stuff. And it took me time to figure out what that meant to them as little people, what that looks like the rest of the year for them. Do they get stuff all the time. And at the holiday season, it was so overwhelming. So from the time they were about two or three, I had decided, you know what? We are going to try to do this differently. So I bought them three presents. I bought them something for their mind, something for their heart, and something for their body. And that was it. So I started that around two and three, and that worked really great for a while. I still didn't have like really great peace about it. I still found that there was so much stuff, and the emphasis was just on what I was going to get and what I was going to have. And it doesn't take very long for your little ones to figure out that method of whether it's parenting or whether it's a birthday or a special day or what have you. So by the time they were about six and eight, it was March, and I was cleaning out their closet. And I saw two presents in there that I had gotten them for Christmas that still hadn't been played with or opened. And it kind of hit me. I was like, I have only bought them three things. And I was very good about sticking to what I had decided. And there was still presents in the closet. And I was like, man, they get so much stuff. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, the finances were a little bit on the sort of tighter side. And my sister had moved to Texas. And so I said, you know what? We're not going to do presents this year. And they're like, what? I'm like, we're going to go see Auntie Ange, and we're going to fly to Texas, and that is our present this year. And they were like, okay, okay. And that Christmas season, like, I had, you know, 7 months to kind of sort of lead up to this, like, are you really going to do this? Are you really taking your kids at 6 and 8 years old mm-hmm. without a single gift? Mm-hmm. And wow. I'm like, okay, oh, we're going to do this. So Christmas morning came. I booked the flights for Christmas morning because I wanted the experience to be an experience, which is exactly what I had decided to do from there forward. Is I wanted your kids, my kids, they're, you know, we live in a lovely country. They had a lot of things. Experiencing life is a very different thing. Experiencing opening a present and experiencing the world we live in is something that, like, I think that we forget that it's super important, whether it's an experience of a place they want to go in the city or a place in, you know, a place you had planned to take them. So in our home, I don't buy them presents. I give them an experience. And every few years, I take them someplace they've never been. And every few, and on the in-betweens years, because financially, you have to make whatever system work for you financially. Mm-hmm. So on the in-between years, we do something new that we've never done before. So it has been very interesting because from the time they were young, the one Christmas that they always talk about is that morning that we flew to Texas to see Auntie Angela. And I made them stockings, and they had fresh cinnamon rolls in the morning. I made the experience and a real experience. We ran through the airport just like Home Alone because we were late all over. We thought we were going to miss the flight, and they still think back, and they have never, ever talked about any of the presents that they're, because their grandparents still give them presents. They still have things to open. And it was really an eye-opening experience for me. And that year, on Christmas Eve, I went to Fred Meyer's, of all places, and I got my shopping cart, and I just started throwing things in there. And I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. We're going to Angela's. Her kids are little. They're going to open up presents. I can't do it. They're 6 and 8 at this time. Everything. I filled it up, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, put everything back, put my cart away.
Incredible.
And I went home. We packed their bags. And so Christmas in our house is definitely, I try to make it an experience, whether it's someplace, something. It's different every year. And now they know, they're 11 and 13, that, you know, they, what is it going to be this year? Sometimes they open it on Christmas morning. Sometimes they know before, depending on what the situation is and what I've chosen to do. And I feel so, for us, it works for us. Mm-hmm. And so when I ask mm-hmm. you that question, I ask it in a way of like finding something, whether it is still presence or it's an experience or it's an outreach, whatever it is, like, you know, it's a time of year that does leave a lot of weight and a lot of memory, and you want that memory to be what you create it to be. Mm-hmm. So that's my experience, and that's how it happened to me. And I do have certain people, you don't buy your kids presents. I'm like, oh, trust me, they are not without. Like, they're going to be fine. Like, so that's why I asked you that question. It was a very mm-hmm. profound moment in my life, and as far mm-hmm. as, like, what I felt they needed and what I needed, it was just time for a shift and to do it different than just because everybody else does it the other way. So,
Isn't that incredible? That's the kind of radical conversation we have. So that's why she had to come and tell you. Okay, so that really moves, Shauna, what you just said really leads into this. You mentioned memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're aware, but the title of our talk this morning is, you mentioned it, Jamie, Moments versus Memories. And this was what really got it for me when I was sitting in her chair a couple of weeks ago. When she started talking about that, I thought, you have to hear this story. So, Shauna, tell us, what's that about? Moments versus memories. What in the world?
So, what that means to me and how I sort of came up with this thought is you have to do the moment to get the memory. So everybody understands that, right? The moment, typically speaking, with an adolescent boy this morning that I wanted to murder, or a preschooler, or the moment, typically speaking, is hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a friend who taught me this. I don't remember much about my kids, you know, preschool age or baby's age. It was so hard for me. When we're not present and we check out, you don't do the moment, as hard as it is, if you're not present, you don't get to take the memory. And, you know, you're raising your kids and you're in this stage for such a short period of time. And I have to remind myself this about every 5 minutes right now because it's so difficult to raise adolescent boys right now. And it's the hardest time of my life. And this, but I want to be able to take the memory with me. So how I came up with this is my kids were very little. And I went to New York for the very first time, and I love New York. I love to spend a few days there. It's one of my favorite places to be. And I walked over the Brooklyn Bridge on a beautiful, sunny day, and it was an amazing experience. And I came back a year later, and everybody's like, oh, you love New York. You do lots of things. Like, what's your favorite thing? I was like, you gotta walk over the Brooklyn Bridge. On a beautiful day, it is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And I found myself telling people to do this. And then one day I was like, that experience was so awful. And I was like, I started thinking back to the actual moment, and the moment was so terrible. I was with four of my friends, and we got lost in Brooklyn. I had to go to the bathroom so bad. It was super, super hot, very, very hungry, didn't have the right clothes on, chafing, rubbing, all kinds of nonsense. Terrible, terrible. But the moment that I turned around and I got across the bridge and I looked at beautiful New York City, and it looks like a photograph to me. And that is the only thing that I carried with me, is that look. And it was such a good moment for me to realize that that moment was seriously, I do remember now how terrible it was. So awful. But when I'm telling somebody or I'm thinking back on my memory of the city, it's always the first thing that comes to my mind. So I was putting that in towards parenting. I was like, in the trenches every single day, with these kids and teaching them and trying to reason with them. It's like trying to reason with a crazy person. It is easier. It really is. And I was like, but you know what? The second I walk away and I feel like, oh, I need a break. I got to get away from here. I think all I want to do is be back with them and be right there. And as hard as it is, it's not going to last forever. Mm-hmm. And I want to have that memory to take with me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I learned a very valuable lesson, because every stage with our kids is difficult, and it's difficult for different reasons for different people. You know, for me right now is 100% the hardest time. Mm-hmm. I have loved parenting until 18 months ago. I really just want to run. And I was very prideful about it, I think, when I was younger and raising smaller kids, because it did come easy to me. But it's been a very interesting experience to realize that I tell everybody to stay in the moment, and here I am now trying to hold on to every 5 minutes because all I want to do is run.
Those are the first words out of her mouth when I sat in the chair. She said, oh my gosh, this is the worst time of my life. Yeah. I mean, it was just
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
it was great. So that's my thought on moment versus memory, you guys. Do everything you can, as hard as it is, to stay in the moment, because that's the only thing you get to take with you.
So I have a funny little side story, and Jamie will shake her head and say, oh, gee, you know. This is not quite as dramatic, but there's this little thing to this day that if I find myself lost somewhere, like with my kids, we were going somewhere, and all of a sudden we're lost, we're not where we're supposed to be, and I would tend to say, oh, look at this neighborhood. Oh, isn't this pretty? Look at that. Isn't this wonderful? And my kids are back there, oh, gee, we're lost. You know, it's like, oh, no. But when I talk to my kids now, I mean, those are some of their great memories. I mean, that in that moment, it's a little different than what you're sharing, Shauna, but yet to just be present in the moment, it does. It creates a lifelong memory, and that's what you remember. You don't remember the, oh, we were lost. What you remember, oh, Mom was so weird then. So, and somehow, at this point in life, it's endearing, you know, because they're parents and they're feeling weird. So even little things like, but thank you, Shauna. That's just so, that is so powerful. You know, my mother used to say, she would say her phrase, and I know you've heard it, but this too shall pass. And when I was a young mother, sometimes that's all I needed to hear on the other end of the telephone line is, this too shall pass. And then you're left with the memory.
Yep.
Yeah. So, okay, Shauna, Meg, next question for you is, how have you learned to carry your normal, you know, everyday values, beliefs, priorities for your boys? How do you carry that into the Christmas season? And you've already expressed a little of that when you told about this transformation to not purchasing gifts. That was an expression of your personal values and priorities.
I think that this time of year brings other things besides gifts, right? Your time, the food, like, you know, your faith and all of those things. And that question's interesting for me because I was not able to do the pull back or to create something different for them without learning that I can't be everything for them. And I feel like this lesson for me was tough because as I was telling Judy about just like, you know, my relationship with the Lord and parenting, there was a point in time in my life where I would really talk at God about parenting. I wouldn't really talk with him when I was younger, my kids were younger, and it was very much, I really do have this, I'm good. But let me just check in once in a while and make sure things are okay. And that was actually the point in time in my life where I was trying to be everything for them because it was not that hard for me. So I felt like I could do everything. And until I sort of matured in my relationship with the Lord and also matured in the fact that, like, I can't and I shouldn't be everything for these children. Like, you will absolutely disappoint them if that's what you do, because there won't be a single human on this earth that doesn't disappoint them, including me. So I think that there was a level of like trying to be, you know, a mature parent, but also trying to just be not insecure about my parenting and not insecure about the fact that there are other people in their lives that have something to offer them and that can teach them something that I cannot. And that's good, because if I try to be everything for them, I will fall short every time. Mm-hmm. But I also am not teaching them to rely on the Lord. I'm not teaching them to rely on the one thing that will keep them safe and that will not disappoint them. And, you know, our kids are growing up in a place of self-entitlement already. You really want them to be self-reliant on the Lord and themselves. And if I was there at every step of the way, and I have a needy child who looks to me like, you are perfect and you do everything great. And that was very like a profound moment. I'm like, oh no, sweetie, I will disappoint you also. Mm-hmm. And it was a time that I learned that I had to be the kind of parent to them. I had to give them everything that I had that was good. And then I have to make sure that they get that from someplace else, mm-hmm. the things that I can't give them, mm-hmm. whether it be, you know, grandparents or a dad or mm-hmm. church or a youth group. And so when that falls us into this time of year, it made me really think, you can't do everything and you can't be everything. If there's a play or something they really want to do and we're overloaded and they have a family that wants to take them, absolutely, you're going to have a great time with them. There are certain things that, like, just like the rest of the year, that you have to be able to let go and have confidence and security that your kids are learning and getting stuff from other places. And if we don't do it or we're not a part of it, nobody's dying over that. Like, it's going to be okay to not say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. So that question is interesting because I feel like there's a lot of moving parts to it. And I think that what we do for our children this time of year, what I do for my children, have a lot to do with my functioning with them the whole rest of the year. Yes. And I think sometimes I've had years where I haven't felt like I've given enough, and so then I want to just, you know, oh, I can make up for all of that right now. Or you just have a different feeling based on the season. And I think going into the season every year and checking yourself and going, yes. Yeah. What are we doing this year? What do we want to do? What's going to work for us? What didn't work last year? Mm-hmm. Because with parenting in every stage too, you have to look in the mirror almost every day, mm-hmm. or at least every period, and readjust to what is working for them, mm-hmm. and what's working for you, and what works for your family, and what the Lord is asking, putting on your heart about what to do for your children. So how does that answer your question?
Oh. Does that? You know, I'm thinking as you're talking, Shauna, one of the things I've noticed with all four of our children in all four of their homes and their relationships, the way they do life is different in all four homes. And, you know, when you're the grandparent, you just step in and you just become a part of how it works in this house and in this house and in this house and take it all in. But all four of our couples in their own way, I love the fact that they are intentional about checking in ever so often. For some, it's more regular. You know, some others, it's more random. Guess who it's random with? Jamie's sister, not Jamie. You know, so they're with, but checking in with each other, how is this working? And not just at Christmas. And do we need to make adjustments? It seems like things have changed with our kids because we're this growing, changing entity as a family and as individuals. And so how is this working for each member of the family, and how are you feeling about how things are, and then being willing to make those changes. And you know, of course, that's a wonderful thing to be able to have that conversation with your spouse. But for some of you are single moms, if there's someone in your life that you can kind of have come alongside you, whether it's a grandparent or a sister or somebody that says, I just need to process this with someone. But it's so worthwhile. And so you can see why one of the words that just comes to me immediately with Shauna is intentional. You begin to get a sense of that. Because ladies, we make the choices. We have a lot of power to choose. And we can say those no's, whether it's to our children, whether it's to ourselves. So I think that's a great answer. That's just a great answer. Okay. All right. So this is one. I'm really eager to hear what you'll say about this, and you've already kind of addressed it, Shauna, but you've talked about, I'd like you to talk more about how your faith informs your life journey as well as your journey at Christmas time, and talk about that a little bit.
This is sort of a tough one, because I feel like, and it probably it happens to everyone, but there was really a point where I had to sort of be broken a little bit in order to really stop talking at God and talk with him. And, you know, I mean, I have always, like, my dad's a pastor, I've grown up in church. Like, I, you know, have had lots of experience, and I've had lots of experience with just walking and lots of experience with thinking I'm walking and all kinds of different. And there was a point in time when my kids were little that, like I said before, I felt great. Like, I felt like, this is not that bad. This mm-hmm. is so easy. Mm-hmm. It's come easy for me. I've never felt that, like, weight of frustration, like, and those were the times where I was like, yeah, no, I got this. This is good. Like, mm-hmm. but there was a certain situation in my life where I knew I needed to deal with it. And I just was like, taking that to the grave. Sorry about that, buddy. Not doing it. But I just knew, like, it was just waiting on me. But I'm tough. And one of my character flaws is I'm very prideful from time to time on certain things. So I was like, nope, I'm just not going to do it. So the badgering, when I mean, if you ever get badgered by the Lord, you know what it feels like. It is not fun. Mm-hmm. It is not fun. And this went on, no joke, for almost 18 months, daily, of me just, and I got to the point in the last 6 months where I couldn't do anything without crying. All of a sudden, I'd be shampooing hair, and we're talking like, and I'd have clients that know me, I'm sort of an open book. What is the matter with you? I'm like, I'm good. I am good. Fine. And there, I'm blow drying my hair one morning, and I just felt me break. You're doing this. You're doing it. You won't you're not going to be successful in anywhere, any area in your life unless you do this. And you know, whether it's big or small or whatever it is, when the Lord is asking you to do something, you got to do it. And the what I needed to do was extremely painful, and it was something that I had said for many, many years, I will take it to the grave, like there's not doing this. So I broke that morning. I just broke. I didn't go to work. I, you know, called my dad, who's like my, you know, amazing chatter, and I was like, this is what I got to do. And he's like, wow, all right. Wow. He's like, the only person that could, the only way you came up with that is that the Lord is making you do that. And he's like, I stand behind you, do what you got to do. From that point on, I learned that I can't do it all by myself, really, for real. And I can't really pretend either. And I feel like, you know, with my faith and taking care of my kids and just being, you know, a non-traditional family, my kids are growing up in two separate homes, and running a business and doing all of that, like, I had this very, like, overwhelming, like, I wanted to make sure I could do everything. And I loved the morning of really just knowing that I know that I know that the Lord had control. He broke me down. It took him a long time, but he did it. And I gave in, and I knew. And ever since then, I have had an amazing peace. Yes, so if there is ever anything in your life, whether it's like, you know, something small or something big. So now what I would say about my faith is informing my journey is I know in my gut what to do. I know what peace feels like. I don't have peace every single day about all the decisions that I make, but I know that if I don't have peace day after day, I know where to go and what to do, and I need to revisit it. I think that learning confidence and learning peace in the Lord and what he'd have you do is really important with your kids because, I mean, I had a situation yesterday with my son that I ended up going to work and I was like, oh, that is not, we're not, that's not working. And I had to totally revisit it, and I had to revisit it with a very, very heavy discipline, and it was definitely not the discipline that I had chosen in the morning. And boy, did I feel so much better. And I think just really like learning how the Lord talks to you and what kind of, what peace means to you. And that doesn't mean it's what you choose to do on your journey or with your children has anything to do with what anybody else does. And I feel like it's very hard, you know, as a mother, there's so many things that you could do wrong and that you can do right and that she's doing or he's doing or their family's doing. You have to pray about what you need to do, and you have to find peace about what you need to do. And I think that that lesson right there for me is was that was the breaking point for me to just find confidence in my parenting and confidence in the Lord and confidence in the peace or not having peace and realizing what to do with that. So
it sounds like it set you free.
It set me free. It totally, and I always, you know, it wasn't that I, you know, I didn't have a relationship with the Lord or any of that, but it was just him telling me to do something and me saying, not so much.
You saying yes.
I'll do it when I'm ready.
Yes. Yes. Isn't that beautiful? Well, and aren't you thankful, Shauna, that he didn't give up on you?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, he didn't let up. And it's because of his great love. It's because, like I said earlier, Jesus loves you more than you will ever know. So if you're hearing this still small voice, and no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, you will, if you stop and listen, you will hear God's voice right where you are. You don't need to be different, better, whatever it is. You will hear his voice, but we must make room in our hearts for him. I love that phrase of that Christmas carol. The most of the words to the Christmas carol don't appeal to me that much, but it just says, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for you. And I thought as I was singing that last night, I think the song is Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, if you're familiar with it. And I have no idea what the rest of it says, but whoa. I was thinking last night about Emmanuel and about that phrase, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there's room. And I had this vision, you can see I'm already kind of going, of this big jar, this big space. And it's probably the space in our heart. And how I thought, I want that space to be Emmanuel. I don't want to be making room in my heart for Jesus. I want him to fill the space completely. And then, you know, everything else will trickle down. I'm sure you've sometime in your life have been to some conference or some speaker has done the thing where they have the jar up there and they've got the big stones, the little stones, the sand. Have you seen that illustration? And if you put the little pieces, then you can't fit the big pieces, which matter the most. And I had this vision of what if the whole jar is filled with Jesus? And then everything else will fall into place. If you find that impossible to believe, try it. Try it. Seek first and only the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. It's just a beautiful thing. And again, if it doesn't make sense to you this morning, but you want it to make sense, talk to me. Talk to someone. Talk to your leader. Talk to a friend. So a couple things, because I think we're doing okay on our time, Shauna. A couple things I wanted to respond to what you said that made me think of. You use the word perfect. You know, we talk about being the perfect parent, the perfect. You know, it occurred to me a few years ago, because now our children are grown. We have very little direct influence in their lives. They've all made their choices. They've made some wonderful choices. Some of them to this day are making choices that I would not choose for them. Some of those choices break my heart. We're blessed with four wonderful children who are people of great character, but still, I mean, anybody who, you know, is a mom of, you know, I see heads nodding here. There are those of us who have grown children. And it occurred to me, it was profound to me at the moment, but here, think about God, because my whole life I just thought, well, God is the perfect parent. Everything I need to know, I can learn by watching him and listening to him and paying attention, because he's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father, and he's perfect. So, but it occurred to me, here he is, perfect in every way. He makes no mistakes. And look what a mess we are. I mean, you know, we can be major screw-ups at times. And yet, he has been the perfect parent. And so why in the world would I think then all my imperfection and all my natural sinfulness and self-centeredness and all of that, that I could be a perfect parent? That my kids would turn out just the way I wanted them to do, doing all the things that I want them to do, because, of course, my idea is best. You know, I know what's best. And, well, that's just, it's laughable to think, to expect that of ourselves. So that whole idea of perfect, we need to just let go and think and look to God, who is the perfect parent, and do our best to follow the ways he parents us. He gives us choices. He's there for us. He shows up when we've made our big mistakes. He loves us unconditionally, you know. So those are the things. He's always there. Think of the things that about your relationship to God, and think about providing those things for your children. Talk about a Christmas present, you know. Talk about bringing value. There was another thing, Shauna. Oh, that I wanted to respond to, and I'm forgetting what it is. But, you know, maybe if I think about it, I may interrupt you or interrupt you. But it did occur to me that we have just a couple of minutes. If any of you, before our closing comments, if there's anything you'd like to ask or something that's not making sense or a question. Yes. Yes. Good question.
So I didn't tell the grandparents they couldn't do it. Like yeah, a little bit. They thought that it was weird. And I said, well, I think it's weird that you buy them each 10 presents. So we can both think it's weird. It's okay. So I did get a little bit, but not a ton. I got more pushback from my kids at first because they were little. But no, and I didn't put those, my expectations or my feelings of what I wanted to do on anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I didn't perfect. Actually even do it with their dad, because their dad and I were divorced at that time too. And we make most of those decisions together still to this day, but I didn't put my thought on him. I was like, you can still do, but this is kind of how I'm changing it.
That's perfect.
It just, yeah, just with confidence.
Great question. Just to add on to that just a bit, I think it's so important to say that, you know, all our obedience, if God is prompting you to do something, you're saying yes to that and obeying that prompting will cause God to be able to work in the lives of the people around you. You know, and we're not responsible for other people's response. We're only response for our obedience. And then we can rest in that, that we have done. And, there, you know, I've just learned over time to just to be honestly, you know, with the in-laws or with your own parents or with whoever is pushing back, to be able to say, I know this is probably hard for you. I know our not coming to that family event, it's going to be hard. We've always done it, and I'm so sorry. I mean, feel genuinely for where they're coming from, but not expect them to feel the way you do. And to embrace what you do, and that it's okay to have that, you know, to have that, but with respect and love. Was there another?
Yeah, so.
Some of the other experiences.
Some of the other experiences. And so it's been 7 years, I think, I've been doing it, and I've taken them, like, someplace they hadn't been twice out of the 7 years. And then the other experiences have been. Last year, we didn't go anywhere last year, but we picked a family, a big family, like five, and we shopped for them, wrapped for them, delivered the presents, did the whole, their whole entire Christmas. And I picked that because I think the year before that I took them to Mexico and it was pretty elaborate. And I was like, okay, we're going to have a completely different experience this time. I made them shop. There was three kids. I made them do all the shopping, pick out everything, read the list and wrap everything and do all that. And then we delivered it. And it was interesting because they loved doing all of it except for delivering it. They had a very hard time doing that.
The face-to-face.
Yeah, the face-to-face and kind of just seeing what somebody else's life was like. And they're old enough now that that was appropriate. You know, they were 12, 10 and 12 last year. So that was one of the other things that we did. And one other one was I bought them, if we went someplace, like when we went to, my parents had taken us to Whistler. So I bought experiences for them. Like, they got to choose, like, an event or something to do that they hadn't done when we went there. Same thing here in Portland. If there's something they've been like haven't experienced or wanted to do, like I'll do like a little coupon, if you will, like in their to go to like laser tag or something they hadn't done before when they were smaller. And this year, they actually are. It's really embarrassing, but really embarrassing. They are super super into. Wait for it. WWE. So they love the whole thing. Well, they do all these little wrestling matches and film them and put them on YouTube.
This is
super embarrassing.
This is so great.
His dad and I, we didn't have anything going on this year. We were like, what do we want to do? What do we want to do? We paid to build them a ring for the backyard. So that is their experience for this year. And they have been building it themselves. So they know what they're getting this year. And this ring is out of control. So they have a ring now that they can use for their filming. And the thing about that is they're going to grow out of that. But the experience of figuring out how to building it, getting the wood, realizing what it costs, it's ridiculous. I get it. But so is 15 presents. So now you've got this huge wood WWE ring in their dad's backyard. Yes, they are building it. We
Isn't
bought
that
everything.
Cool?
That was their present
That's
this year.
So
the experience switched a little bit this year to something that they really have been wanting, and we weren't going to do it just to do it. So we were like, okay, well, let's just give that a try. So they learned a lot during the process,
That's
and we
awesome.
Got editing and all kinds of crazy stuff going on now. So I just try to be creative with the moment, with the age that they are. Mm-hmm. You know, when they were very little, it was much easier. Now that they're getting older, it's a little bit harder to come up with certain things, but I try to think about where they're at, what they've asked for throughout the year, or where I want to take them if I'm budgeted to do that at some point, which is still a couple years away for the next time. So
that's great. I'm so glad you asked that question because you told me that story and I just was blown away.
It's embarrassing.
So we want to wrap things up. One thing that I did, I finally remembered what it was, Shauna, when you were. talking about trying to be all things to all people or whatever, and you know that we don't want to take on roles that don't rightfully belong to us because we can't be everything in our children's lives. And one thing that I always love to talk to young moms about, or to any mom about, is, you know, sometimes we parent to meet, unfortunately, our own needs, whether they're unmet needs from our childhood, and Christmas is a prime example of that. Maybe what you didn't have when you were a child, or at the other end, maybe what you did have and you've just got to keep it over the top, or else you want to make something happen that never happened for you. And I always want to say to parents, you know, you want to keep looking at yourself, making sure you're parenting to meet your children's needs, not your own needs. But that doesn't mean you should ignore your needs. If you have needs that are unmet, that haven't been addressed, hurts that haven't been addressed, that are interfering you with you being a whole person, fully present for your children, take care of yourself. Find the help you need. Reach out. Ask for help. Admit that you have the need. Look it in the eye and say, I'm not taking this. I'm not passing this on to my children. I'm not going to do that. So I really want to encourage you. That's a message I always want to leave every time I talk with mothers, to give you permission to take care of yourself, because the best thing you can do for your parents is to take, for your children and your family, is to take care of yourself. It's not selfish, so that you're whole, so that you can be parenting from that perspective. So we're tying it up right now. I will read from my closing comment. No. I just want to thank you. We want to thank you so much for allowing us to come into your lives today. You don't know us. You know, who are these people? But thank you. You've been so gracious. And, you know, we've been praying for this time together that you might be challenged, encouraged, and uplifted, not because of us, but because of Emmanuel. God with us. Our prayers now go with each of you, because we believe in you. And more importantly, we believe in God's power in and through you. We've been there, right where you are, and we're not alone. I want to say to you that for me personally, and this is just a personal note, I'm available to you. Shauna doesn't have a lot of availability. Okay, yeah.
That's not entirely
true. We could talk more about that,
But
I am available to you. This is a time in my life where God has put a call on my life that's very clear, that I'm simply to be available to my family, to people like you, for where he calls me and places me. So if anything about our conversation this morning has triggered a response which might merit a deeper conversation, I'm here for you. And others are as well. Others who you know and feel comfortable with. But I want to thank you, and I want to thank you, Shauna. I love this girl. Do you see why she had to be here today? I just knew
too kind.
I knew she had to be here today, and thank you for taking these moments out of your incredibly full life to be with us. So thank you, and the Lord bless you.
Thanks, you guys.